The Approaching the Natural Podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here, your host of this podcast, this weekly show. I come here every week and I've been doing it for 162 weeks, counting today, this day. And I come to you every week to bring to you my philosophy of health and happiness, my approach to getting more of both of those things in your life. Capital H happiness, little h health, okay? Because most, if not all, everybody who wants to be healthy, it's because they want to be happy. Dig? And a lot of people want to be happy without trying to be healthy. I happen to think you can be happier when you're healthy, but that's just me. And you might come here every week to say, well, what's that about, Sid? I don't agree with you. I'm going to come here every week to just not agree with you. And that's good. I'm glad you're here and we can be friends. We can agree to disagree. That makes just the hair on my neck bristle. We'll just have to agree to disagree. I don't agree to disagree. I even disagree with disagreeing. What do you think about that? Huh? Put that in your pipe and smoke it, as my father would and will say. Okay. If you're just joining me, then good luck. Best of luck to you. Okay. It's like I'm sending you off to school for the first time and just you're on your own from here on out. And hope you make it. And if you were coming back here because you've been here before, then great, because we're already old friends, aren't we? Okay? Okay, good. You know, I whipped through a few announcements, but if you're just wondering what I do, I'm a health coach and certified nutritionist. I'm an author of a book called Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. I run this here podcast. I do a 2-a-week YouTube channel, 2 videos a week. And because of those things, dabble in social media only by way usually of just saying, hey, by the way, new video up, just kind of letting you guys know. Yeah, if you have noticed, I'm not doing the things that one should do. There's my should, the least favorite word of mine. And you know, you really should be spending $500 a month in Facebook ads to get more followers. I've got followers and there's not millions of them, but they're real and I like that. Okay? Because then I can just kind of hang out with you guys. Okay. We don't have to be like, who's that guy who was paid to be here? What's going on there? What else? I work at the Stanford Inn. I work at their run their wellness center, Jeff and Joan Stanford. Been there for about 10 years, and I also take clients on the side. All through SidGarzaHillman.com, including everything you need to know about me and where my social media is and everything. It's a good place to start, SidGarzaHillman.com. You can also, by the by, get some Nutty Nut Nut shirts, right? If you're just joining me, this may be the first time you're hearing about this. Really? Nutty Nut Nut shirts, okay? Organic cotton, recycled polyester, boom. Still shipping them, still selling them. It's making up for all the not sales I got of the WWID bracelets. Now, there's some people out there going, I ordered a freaking WWID bracelet. And yes, you did, and you should be proud of yourself for doing that because I'm wearing one now. But they didn't take the way that the Nutty Nut Nut shirts. It's fine. I thought they would take. That just goes to show you my lack of, what's it called? Oh, yeah, marketing skill. I was like, what would I do, bracelets? That's amazing. But it's also a responsibility. It's, you know, maybe you just don't want a damn bracelet. How about that? But I like them, and people who got them tend to like them. That's what I can tell you about that. You look down, you're in a dilemma. You look down, what would I do? Chances are you freaking know. Chances are you know. The message here every week, you guys, is not that I have much to teach you other than that you probably already know enough right now to make your life kick ass. But via my small steps approach, I believe I can get you there faster than virtually any other method. That's just what I believe. I believe that to be true. I think you can cheat it and pile on a whole bunch of stuff onto your life, and it'll look like you're getting there faster for a short time until you unravel and undo everything that you, all gains you made, and gain the literal or figurative weight back. And I've talked about that before, I think, 162 episodes, really? I don't even remember what I did yesterday, much less 161 episodes. But there is a literal and a figurative weight loss associated with small stepping. There is oftentimes, if you're trying to lose weight, there's weight loss in a physical, healthy weight management, getting there kind of way. But there's also, more importantly to me, is the figurative weight, the weight coming off your shoulders, feeling like, okay, I'm actually okay here. I don't need to compare myself to everybody else in the world that looks like they're doing it much faster than I am, because I don't see them a year from now, or by that time I'm distracted and I don't realize that a year's gone by and they've gained back all their weight, or they're not as happy as they were that first 2 weeks of whatever they were doing too fast, or they were lifting weights with a trainer, but then that didn't last past 2 months and they lost all the physical muscle that they had gained and talked about and all these kinds of things. And it becomes neither here nor there. It becomes that you don't get swept up into the comparisons, that you just focus on your own life, and those things come up and you kind of bounce back and go, yeah, okay, whatever, but how am I doing? How am I living the life I want to? Okay, let me get closer super fast as possible. I always say that, as fast as possible. It's just not as fast as the marketplace sells you to believe you can make it, and that's okay. That's the grappling, and that's one of the reasons why I believe you should come to this podcast every week, because maybe it's a way for you to keep yourself in check, to not get swept up into the comparisons, into the feeling like you should be doing more and that you're not doing it fast enough. Trust me, if you're a small stepper, you're doing it as fast as possible. You know why? Because if you can do it faster, you will, because you're going to ask the question, can I do this step starting today for the rest of my life? That's your question. I'm going to take on meditation. What amount of meditation, starting with maybe one deep breath and going all the way up to an hour on a pillow in front of a freaking candle that smells minty and lemony, like lemon verbena, for instance, anywhere in between there? What could you start with today that you could do forever for the rest of your life? You may not, but what could you do? Well, I don't think I could sit in front of a lemon verbena candle for an hour a day. That's a lot. I mean, I've got kids and I know that other people have meditated that way, but that doesn't really fit in my life because I'm a small stepper. And I always say, how does this fit in my life? And how can I just get it into my life? And then I can make a little adjustments. I can move stuff around and make little tweaks here and there on the wall of behaviors until I grow it into a place where maybe it is an hour, but I'll get there. Maybe not, but I'll take my time as fast as possible to get there. I'm going to take my time as fast as possible. That's what the small stepper does. And that small stepper might say, you know what? I really am about 3 deep breaths, because that's right now, that's about all I got. Once I get my foot in that door, then I'll adjust things, maybe watch a little less TV at night and bring in a 2-minute meditation in a few weeks, and then maybe watch the news a little bit. So maybe I'll do 2 2-minute meditations per day instead of one sitting, for a big extended period of time. And maybe that grows into 2 5-minute meditations and then a 10-minute meditation at the end of the day, so on and so forth. I think you see where I'm going with this. The reason I repeat this kind of model is because I do this for a living, you guys. I work with clients who know this and who listen to my podcast. It is still a struggle. And guess who else? For me too. It is still, we are so embedded and so trained in the thought that when we want to make a change, it needs to be super quick. We need to get the kind of response that we get from taking a Tylenol when we have a headache. And we want the freaking results. We want them now. And we think they should come now, because that's how we've designed our own world, that we have quick fix solutions to a lot of our problems, to certainly to physical things. Then the mental things we kind of have solutions to also, just not healthy ones, but we have them, called junk food, light box food, called drugs, called alcohol. We have those things. We have distractions and news and TV shows and everything else to distract us from that kind of model. But we as small steppers take moments to consider our lives and consider the lives we want to live, and we take appropriate action. What sets small steppers apart from virtually everybody else is we definitely take action, because we go so small that we act, and that's the power, that we actually make action. But don't get me wrong, it's a struggle for me and the clients and everything else who conceptually understand it, but man, when the push comes to shove, it comes down to this thing of like this grappling of like, yeah, but. Yeah, I get it conceptually, but I really think I should be on a full-on, full-bore diet. And you tell me if that works out, because for most people, it doesn't. Dig? Okay. Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah, we kind of slid into a little, we slid into second base, and we've got a little dirt on our pants, and I'm just going to pretend for about 5 more seconds that I know anything about sports or am even a sports fan. And we got up and we high-fived our co-player. And scene. I launched a meal plan with Matt Frazier called Health Made Simple. If you guys are interested in that, teaches you how to be very simple about food. I'm exhausted mentioning it. The link is in the show notes. NoMeatAthlete.com/meal-plan-system. It kicks ass. I wouldn't talk about it if it didn't. I'm not sponsored by it because I freaking created it. Yes, I make money from it. And that's part of the way that I make a living. So awesome for you guys if you joined up and get something out of it, because that's the point. I got a live Q&A coming up in a couple days. So you get to see me and ask questions and Matt questions. And we do a podcast with some awesome stuff about it. Okay. It's I think it's the best meal plan out there because it's so different and so its own deal and so much about really making it a functional thing for you. Not about following a health plan or a meal plan, but how to actually get past it. It's a pretty powerful thing. It really, really is. Okay. But what else gets me here every week is you guys, more than anything else. And that is partly from, yes, the donations that I get from you guys. And it's, I can't tell you because it's amazing. Well, I do tell you, thank you for that, for real. But also the purchasing of those Nutty Nut Nut shirts. And by the way, I've got Approaching the Natural shirts left. I just only have a few extra large and some larges. So if you guys are interested in those, I would love to just sort of get those out of here. So I will tell you that if you email me podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, I'll sell those for $15. Okay. If you guys, that's like not, I think I paid $13 for those. I'm not even kidding. So $15, if you got to want to get an ATN Approaching the Natural shirt, and I'm just going to sell those out and probably not reprint them. I don't know, but podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Okay. Boom. You can also get Approaching the Natural mugs and bracelets and all that stuff and a custom signed copy of my book. Okay. Good. Just got back from the, Mendocino Healthy Running Retreat. I talked about that a little bit. Had a really nice weekend. Met some very cool people. A few people work for Google. Have you guys heard of Google? It's like a start. It's like a startup. It's like a search. Apparently, you put in a, like, if you want to look up something, you put that in there, and it'll tell you where to go. It'll tell you like pretty quick. I think it's going to go somewhere. I really do. I think it's like a pretty promising, because there's been lots of times in the last couple of years where I've been like, I would love to find information on mangoes, and I don't even know who to ask. I say to myself, I don't who the heck am I going to ask where to find information about mangoes on the internet? Well, now somebody answered that call. They said, here, we're going to be that for you. But really good weekend, really fun. Kyle Evans, the chef, made some just awesome food, and there were some really good runs. I'm not easy. I'll put it that way. I think we all thought it was going to be easier. There were some freaking hills. It was in a town nearby called Ukiah, which is inland about an hour. It's about an hour and a half drive from where I live. And I have not done, I've been up in Mendocino Coast. This is from where I am. It's, by the way, rainy and awesome and cold right now. It's my favorite weather. I love rainy and cold. I'm not even kidding. I love it. I love just like a fire and a fireplace and just that kind of thing. I really dig it. So I'm happy to see that happening. It did not rain over the weekend. However, I have not done a lot of exploring in Ukiah, but now I freaking will, because there are trails and wineries. We were running by wineries. We're running by lakes. Did not even know existed. Just a whole nother world of adventure. And I guess I'll take just a moment to say how cool that it is when we, including me, are open enough to new experiences. And I do look back at my life, and more on that, because that's what kind of this episode is about. Not my life, but life in general. And just think about all the twists and turns, seemingly really weird and maybe even inappropriate at times in the past, and how they all led up to me being asked to speak at a freaking healthy running retreat and being able to experience awesome people and go on great trails and eat some amazing food and just like all this kind of stuff. And I'm going, how the heck did I end up here? And then I kind of go like, I don't know and don't care. I'm just here. How great is that situation? It's amazing. So that was kind of cool. I'm a little bit sore today, I got to tell you. I did a 10-miler on Saturday. Then I did a 2-miler in the afternoon on the same day. Next morning, did a 5, almost 6. And it was like, we'll just do like a lighter. And it was all hills. I mean, like massive amounts of hills. Now, here's what happened to me today as I checked my email. I got an email from North Face Endurance Challenge. And they send, I'm on their mailing list because I'm doing the 50K in December. And so a lot of their emails are like other events they're doing. I'll click on them and just sort of browse around a little bit and then I'm out. This one happened to be on my race and said like, you know, whatever, you know, however, 8 weeks left. I don't even know. It's less than that. I can't remember. But anyway, so it said this many days left till the race. And so I was like, oh yeah, it's coming up. And if you guys don't know, which I think you do, but I'm not formally training for this race. I'm not following a training plan. I am not doing any kind of food nutrition training. I'm going to carry a bottle of water with me. That's it. I'm going to eat off the tables. I'm at the aid stations. I don't know what's on the tables, and I'm specifically not looking about what's on those tables. I am not studying the course map. I am not doing any prepping at all. Nothing. I want to get in my car in the morning. I'm going to sleep at my sister's house in Petaluma. I'm going to get up in the morning with a bottle of water in my handheld water bottle and drive to the start line and go. That's my goal. No planning with a backpack, and I'll carry a camera too because I'm in a video. So that's it. But probably maybe even on my phone. So it might just be my phone and a bottle of water. And that's the point. That's the whole thing. But here's what happened when I opened that damn email. I'm scrolling. I just kind of cursorily look at it like it's talking about it. And then I realize it's my event. And then it has this little like four red bars about like the level of difficulty of these four areas, like overall difficulty, elevation, terrain, if it's technical trails or not, you know, and overall difficulty all the way to the right. Like it was all the way. It was like 100% difficult according to their little chart. 100% difficult. Mm. I'm drinking Moroccan mint tea, by the way. You know why? Because it takes me to Morocco. I mean, when I was in Morocco, I was like, is there anything going on here besides mint? Because this is just mint in Morocco or intermarried. I can't even get, you can't separate them. So this tea is just taking me back to a place that I've frankly never been to. But I'm assuming I don't need to go now because I just know what it's all about. So it was 100% difficulty. And so kind of psyched me out, you guys. Kind of psyched me out. So trying to just take some deep breaths through that and realize that I want to focus back on my non-training and non-planning and non-freaking out. And if I don't finish the race, I don't finish the race. Okay, I'm gonna give it the old college try. Now, this is not to say that I'm not going to be trained or that I'm going to be untrained. I will be trained. I mean, I am running and I'm running long distances. I'm just not following a training plan. It's not that I'm not going to eat during the race. I am. I'm going to fuel myself during the race. It's just that I'm not going to look at my watch and eat every 20 minutes like I did for my other ultras. And that worked. I just want to try and see what happens if I don't. Dig it? Okay. So no more checking emails for me on that because it just freaked me out. I am going to Atlanta in a matter of like less than 3 weeks, which is exciting. I can't wait. Atlanta Veg Fest on Saturday, November 12th. I'm flying out on the 11th and flying back on the 13th. I mean, it is a turnaround like nobody's business. And then I am done for the year, except for my 50K, but done for the year in terms of speaking and had an amazing year and just so much traveling and awesome stuff. And it'll be nice to not do that for a couple months. I'm very happy to not do that. March will roll around. And then I head to Marshall, Texas Health Fest. And it looks like I'm going to Massachusetts in May for a corporate speaking thing. And so that's cool. And I'm looking forward to all that stuff. But I'm also looking forward to just chilling for the holidays or whatever they are and get through that. Dig? Okay, good. Mm. Moroccan mint, you guys. Moroccan freaking mint. Go to my YouTube channel and subscribe. There, that's my sell. Now, here's an idea that a listener gave to me. It's not a new idea. It's just a suggestion that I should try this, which is a Q&A video. So I'm going to float it out there. And if I compile enough questions over the next, this isn't the only medium that I'm going to announce this, by the way. But if you have any questions that you think would be appropriate or that other people could benefit from for me to do a Q&A YouTube video, then shoot me an email, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com or tweet me at Sid Garza Hillman on Twitter or Facebook and shoot me that question and just kind of let it be known. If you don't mind, just be like, here's a question for the video. Okay. It can be anything. What the shoes I wear, what I eat during the day, things about my kids, my marriage, whatever you want, the Stanford Inn, anything. Okay. So, the two YouTube videos were, Get to Know the Know and Just Another Crack in the Wall. Those are the ones that were up this week. And there we are. Now, I was a guest on a podcast. A couple of guys emailed me that last month and said, would you be willing to be on our podcast? And I hesitated all of about 5 seconds because I knew who they were and I was very excited about that. They're actually fairly new to the podcasting thing. I think I'm episode 40, which, you know, they're in it, but they're just, you know, not in it like for like years. But they're awesome. Really nice guys, Jackson and Aaron. It's the Thought for Food podcast. I was a guest. I'm episode 40. I will put a link in the show notes of this episode, but it's TFF Lifestyle. So in other words, thoughtforfoodlifestyle.com, TFF Lifestyle. It's a good podcast and you should just listen to it anyway, and you should follow them because they do good videos on their YouTube channel. But if you're interested, because I don't really get into this at all really on this podcast at all, maybe I did on episode one and then never talked about it again, but they asked me all about my history with music and my acting career, which existed before I moved up to Mendocino, and all those kinds of things, and kind of they skillfully, I believe, tied it back to kind of what I'm doing now with videos and the podcast and my health practice and everything else. And it was kind of an interesting conversation. They're really funny guys, and it was good. So if you're interested in kind of getting my background in like that and seeing how the twists and turns of life got me here, then you can check that out. Okay, good. Dial back days, still today, no food until about 5 o'clock. It wasn't that I set the clock. It's just that I went down to the Raven's Kitchen and tasted a few things, which I'll do on occasion, make sure they're all good, and ate a little bit of food there. I will have some dinner after this podcast, but really taking that. And it's just like, it's so weird that like not eating is more, is easier for me than fruit only. There's something about the ease of just walking out my door with a jar of water or two jars of water that I look forward to. I'm like, oh, thank God I don't have to eat today. I mean, I'm just not kidding. It's the weirdest damn thing. And I'm not calorically restricting. I make it up. I mean, I ate a pretty good amount over the weekend because I was on that running retreat and I was just not, you know, just eating. There was food around. It was really good. And we were just eating, you know, catered lunches and things like that. And I was just eating. But it was so good after a weekend like that of just getting up today and going, okay, clean out day, dial back day, reset my clock, boom. And it just feels so amazing. Now, am I, again, you know, little qualifier here. I'm not saying skip meals. I'm just saying this is what I'm doing. Your dial back day may be something like fruit all day, or just fruit until noon, or a big salad for dinner, just as a dinner. Like one, I had a client recently, and one of her steps was a big freaking salad. If you guys haven't seen my YouTube video, this is a big freaking salad. Go watch that. But one salad for dinner per week, just to dinner as a, nobody thinks of like a salad as dinner. It's always like a little side salad. Well, on her steps, this was one big salad as a dinner. And so, you know, your dial back day is a mental reset day. That's really what that is. For me right now, it's not eating. It's a way that I can devote all my mental energy to work and thinking and my life, and just one day a week, like, okay, I don't want to deal with food at all until dinner. Like, I just don't want to think, have I eaten? Am I hungry? I can't go. I'm going to be fine. I'm running. I'm fine. I got up this morning, did my Wim Hof thing. It's not like I'm having to sleep on a couch because I'm not eating. I'm fine. Work all day. I'm fine. I am week 7 of the Wim Hof program, really digging it. I'm just going to like talk about what I think about it in terms of if I recommend it when I'm finished. My only stress about that all at all is that I want to wrap it up before the 50K. And it's been, it's a 10-week program and it's taking me way more than 10 weeks. Like, it's going to end up taking me probably 14 or 15 weeks to do the 10-week. The program says just do the things 5 days a week. I'm trying to do them 7 days, like each week actually do them 7 days and then move on to the next week. So partly is that I am like really wanting to spend some time each week and really dial in that day, that week's, you know, things and tasks and exercises and all those kinds of things, includes yoga and all the breathing and the cold. At the ranch where I was this weekend, Yokeo Ranch, it's called. It's the ranch in Ukiah where they held the running retreat, and the whole ranch was ours. Like, it was just for the running retreat. It was really fun. But there was a pool there. And you can see it in the video, by the way. But anyway, so I feel the pool and it's cold. And I'm going, this is made for me. I'm doing the Wim Hof thing. There's no problem. It's no problem. I've been doing cold showers for almost 7 weeks. Well, more than 7 weeks, really. And a lot more than 7 weeks. So one night, I just got in up to my neck, and I'm breathing, and it's cold. And I realized this is a lot colder than my shower ever was. And my shower is cold enough to make me do that breathing thing. Like, and the pool was colder But I'm not kidding. I must have been 10 degrees colder. I'm not even kidding. So I breathed. Okay. Didn't do the whole crazy breathing thing. Kept my calm. But I was feeling the numbness, I'll be honest with you, and got out. And I was like, okay, all right. I got work to do. I'm not there yet. Not there. It's a long-term process. Wim himself has been doing this for 40 years. So I'm just kind of chilling. I'm just kind of like, no pun intended, boom, chilling, right? You with me? So I'm just going to keep on keeping on until I do this maybe for the next couple of years. And I really like the cold therapy. I really do. Like I said last week, I may not do the yoga onwards. I don't know. I love running. But I definitely will continue the breathing and the cold showers indefinitely because I'm feeling awesome about those. Dig? Okay. Got an email from a listener. I like to mention listener emails. I got a listener email from somebody who has, you know, emails me fairly regularly now and then. I love hearing from him, her. And one of the, this email was really cool because it was a success. And I want to share it with you, which is he, she bought a book, one of them nutrition books that you so hear about. And like I always say, nutrition books are great. Usually they're about half of the book is the information and the rest of the half is just either to just make you nutty nut nut in a bad way or freak you out or put you on a diet. But the first part's pretty good. So it's a really good book. I'm not going to name which book it is because it's an awesome book, but in this context, I don't want to name it because I don't want to like say anything negative about it. Because this was her sort of perception about it. But anyway, the first part of the book, amazing. Reading it, great, great, great. Then there's like the prescription at the end. Like here are the foods that you have to include, you know, every day. That like that kind of messaging, which you see. And you see it all over the place. The top 10 foods that you should eat every single day. Well, in this situation, it was stress. It was like good knowledge, great. Oh man, now there's the should. I should do this thing every day. And she had emailed me this a while ago, and I said, you know, that's my only problem with these kinds of books is like the information is amazing, but then shut the book when it gets to the whole like prescription for incorporation, because usually in every case, it's not custom to you because the author doesn't know you. Fine, there's no problem there. But also it's usually for most people too much to take on at once. And if you're a small stepper, the red flags go up. There's like red flags. Wait a second. You don't know how busy I am when you tell me that I need to include these things every day and then are going to make me crazy because I'm doing lots of other stuff. Boom. So she was a little stressed by this, but took some time with it. Maybe even took some deep breaths. That's my perception of it. I don't know if they actually took deep breaths, but figurative deep breaths, I'll put it that way. And closed that book and just used bookstore. Just used bookstore it. Just, yeah, here you go. Somebody else, take it off my hands. And this is, by the way, not the first time this is not a client, this is just a podcast listener, but I've worked with people who have gone through the process of sort of like getting rid of some of the books. Like, I know, you know, I've talked about it here, like I know enough. And so I'm going to kind of cut bait on this. I'm going to kind of take these books off my bookshelf and give them back because I don't need to reread them. I know enough now. I don't have a huge interest in nutrition in terms of making it my job. This is, I do personally, but I'm just saying hypothetically, you may not. And do I really need these books on the shelf anymore? Maybe I could replace them with novels or books about, you know, learning to play guitar or writing screenplays, because that's where my head is right now. And these books haunt me because they look down at me and they make me think that I'm not doing enough or that I'm not successful enough in my trek to be healthy. And I don't really need that kind of influence. Got it? Okay. There's a reason why only one chapter in my book is about diet. It's because it's just, okay, look good. Let's get past that. Okay, now. And it's the first chapter, by the way, because I sort of want to like, here's about all you need to know about nutrition, need to know in terms of how to be healthy. Okay, food-wise. Okay, now every other chapter is about non-food because that's really where it's at. So that's my whole philosophy. Okay, and whether you agree with it or not, I'm glad you're here to give it a shot and see what you think. Okay. Now I am going to name names. There was a book I read recently by the author who wrote Born to Run. He wrote a new book, and it's a pretty good book. Natural Born Heroes, I think it was. And I read the book. What do you have to remember the title also? I mean, what am I? freaking genius. I'm not a Mensa candidate here. I can't remember the title of a book. And so it, great story and fun, and it's not Born to Run, but it's decent, and sort of kind of whipping through it a little bit. Then at the end comes, and the Nutty Nut Nut comes. And here's the form of the Nutty Nut Nut, in my opinion. There's an author named Tim Noakes. He's an MD, and he wrote a book, two books that I have read. One is, well, I've read most of The Lore of Running because it's 1,000 billion pages long. So I've gone through a decent amount of that. But I did read Waterlogged, start to finish. Very interesting book, and about how so we're overhydrating, and this plays into a lot of the work that I'm doing with my own training of not drinking that much and just sort of going for a 12-miler and not drinking water and seeing what that's like, et cetera, et cetera. But Tim Noakes turned from high carbohydrate, which is what he was sort of advocating for many, many years, and now he's squarely in the high-fat camp. Now, a couple things going on here. If you know me at all, you know that I am definitely in the high-carb camp, okay? I'm looking not for, I will say that I'm not looking for winning races except for the human race. Wow, that's that was deep. That was pretty, let's just all acknowledge how, what I mean by that is I want success long-term. I'm not appealing to, athletes who want to win tomorrow's race. And even if I were, and there are athletes who listen to me, I still believe high carbs is the way to go. I mean, there's plenty of amazing athletes who are killing races, but I just believe they're going to be doing it longer by eating really healthy. That's just my thing. It's not like it doesn't mean if you eat a high carb diet, you can't win races. It just means you're probably going to, in my opinion, be able to do that longer because you're causing less stress on your body. But at the same time, there's plenty of athletes on so-called ketogenic diets that are, in my opinion, putting their bodies in stress, but they're training their bodies to burn fat as a primary fuel source, and they're able to kill races too. I just think they're going to pay the price down the line with regard to their health. Now, is there studies on both sides of that camp? You bet your ass. Is enough to make your head spin? Faux show. But what I will say, and this is what bothers me about this book, is that Tim Noakes, they're describing, the author's describing him getting up and meeting him and going to meet Tim. And Tim just had, eggs and bacon and sausage in the morning because he's on his high fat diet. And that's enough to satisfy him all day. And he's doing extremely well. Here's my problem. And this is, so I am going to touch on nutrition. I don't talk about it a lot in this podcast, as you know, but I'm a nutritionist. Even if you can convince me with studies that the high-fat diet is better for the human body, that the human body can do better and even for longer in a healthy way, two things are missing. One is that I think there's a dismissal of the intelligence of the body. And here's what I mean. The body, even on high-carbohydrate diet, has fat cells and will store fat as needed. It's not like people on high-carbohydrate diets have zero fat on their bodies. They have fat, and many of them can train via all the things I talk about with regard to fitness and training, going slow and becoming more fat adaptive. You can do that independent of high fat diet. I'm becoming more fat adaptive for sure. And I'm doing that, and I'm still on an extremely high carbohydrate diet, low protein, low fat. So that's number one mistake. But the biggest mistake I find is still this annoying discussion of the macronutrient fat, or even the macronutrient carb. When I say I'm a high carbohydrate diet, there's an assumption there for me, and if you've read my book, you'll know what the assumption is that it's healthy carbohydrate. The assumption is that it's actual food. And in the high fat realm, there's a complete, just like, we're all about fat, 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 but there's no consideration of the things that come with calories or not. The things that, if they do come with calories, make our bodies healthy. Vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants, and this one, the number one, fiber, for the love of all that's holy. Well, there's no fiber in eggs and bacon and sausage, the thing that feeds our good gut bacteria. So if you convince me that a high-fat diet is advantageous, you better talk about healthy fat. And I don't even mean unsaturated fat. I mean what comes with the fat. I don't give a crap about the fat. I want to know what are the micronutrients that come with that fat. I still think it's a completely wrong way to look at food, which is from a caloric standpoint. I think if you look at real food, food that is appropriate for the human body, you can get fat that comes packaged with a whole bunch of stuff that actually freaking makes you healthy, and you'll still be on a high-fat diet. Nuts, seeds, avocado. Those are predominantly fat, and you can eat those things to your heart's content if you believe that a high-fat diet is the name of the game, and still get the things like the phytochemicals and the antioxidants that are missing almost entirely from things like eggs and bacon and flesh and dairy. And so I just think the conversation is wrong about high fat versus high carb. I think if you talk about whole food that has the stuff of health, then it really becomes less important. And again, like, high carbs working for me, it's working for my clients. I'm seeing a ton of athletes who are just kicking complete ass, but that's not really my focus. I mean, it's really, clients don't come to me and go, Sid, can you, I'm a professional ultra marathoner. Can you tweak my diet? I'm a small steps coach. That's what I do. I'm a small steps coach. I'm helping people change, regular non-professional people for the most part. And I don't mean, you know, in workplace, I just mean athletes, make their lives better. And that's why oftentimes I'm dealing with a lot of other things besides food before I even get to the food thing. Okay. I've worked with athletes a ton. It's not like I don't, but in general, I'm trying to steer people away from the discussion of food, and especially the nutty nut of just high fat versus high carb with no focus at all upon the things that actually define a healthy food or not, which is, again, not the calories, not the protein, not the fat, not the carbohydrate, but the stuff that comes with. That's really your whole vision should be on those kinds of things, not at all about the calories. Here's the one exception: when you should only focus on calories and energy and nothing else is when you're starving to death, because you don't care at that point if you're going to find health. You're not going to bypass unhealthy food if you're starving to death. You're going to eat whatever food you can. And food, by definition, is going to be the thing that fuels your body. It doesn't matter if it comes from fat, carbohydrate, or protein. Eat it if you're starving to death. But if you're not starving to death, focus on, if you want to improve your diet, that is, focus on the stuff that fuels your body in a healthy way. Fuel, yes, but also what I call in the book motor oil, the stuff that makes the machine run well, so that while it's burning energy in the mitochondria, it's burning it as cleanly and as efficiently and with minimal wear and tear. Dig, when it's creating energy in that process, it's doing it with minimal waste. It's doing it with less wear and tear on the body over time. Got it? And then the whole discussion of this versus that becomes sort of like missing the point, guys. Missing the freaking point. Okay? Okay. Not to mention the fact that if you eat too much protein, it gets stored as fat. Okay? I'm just saying there's other ways to get fat on your body without being on a high-fat diet. Now, I still believe that lower protein, lower fat is the name of the game. And by the way, I'll repeat this one more time. I know for a fact that I'm becoming more fat adaptive. I know that over time I have become pretty darn fat adaptive. That's why I can go run 12 miles and not eat anything in the morning and only and just drink a glass of water before I go for a run, and then during the run not drink any water at all. That's what I did just 2 weeks ago. Nothing. And during the 10 miler I did 2 days ago, didn't take water with me, didn't take any, no gels, nothing. I just go for a 10-mile run with nothing. I'm not holding anything. The reason I can do that and not bonk and not blow out all the glycogen stores in my muscles is because I go slow enough over time to allow my body to adjust to that stress. And therefore, by doing that, it knows how to be more efficient in what I'm asking it to do, which is to go for endurance type runs. And it knows how to get work around. The body is amazing, and the mind, by the way, too, amazing at figuring out workarounds when given the chance to do so. Amazing at workarounds when given the chance to do so. The question is, do we give it the chance? Or do we just go out the door in the morning and just freaking bat out of hell, run as fast as we can, mental as fast as we can, keep ourselves distracted or pushing with work, push, exercise as hard as we possibly can? Well, is it no worry and no, is it no surprise that we break down? Is it no surprise? Of course not. Of course we're going to break down. We can't push that hard. We need to allow our bodies to play catch up. And that's what slow training does over time, is it allows your body and mind to catch up before you put on the next challenge. Dig, boom, good. You know, I know, because I used to push too hard. I used to push too hard, and I paid the price. For real, in the way that I was a little overweight, in the way that I was sometimes more overweight, you know, 30, I've been 35 pounds heavier than I am right now. And injury. Okay. So overweight, injured, sick a lot. Okay. I don't get sick anymore. Haven't for a few years now, literally not sick. Okay. I've been doing this episode, these podcasts for 162 episodes. Okay. You tell me every week for 162 weeks, how many times have you heard me come here or miss a week because I was sick? How many times? Zero, zero. Now, could I get sick tomorrow? Sure, because I've got stress in my life. So far, so good, you guys. Don't know what to tell you. I'm not rocking the boat. Okay, not rocking the boat. All right. The reason why I can learn from these kinds of things in my past where I was, and by the way, from reading and all the research I do anyway, but part of it is that I can look back in my life and assess the things that have worked and not worked in my life. And that's what I want to talk about this week. It's called the subject of this week's episode. The title is called Life in Review. Now, the obvious sort of take on life in review is this point that eventually, small steppers or not, eventually we get enough time between now and things that happened in our past that we can look at them with more perspective. We you know, break up with somebody that we love and it's pain and it's horrible and we're obsessed with it and it's crazy. But then 3 years later and you go, yeah, I can look at it now and I can maybe laugh about it, or I can, you know, remember that it was pain, but I don't feel that pain anymore. And I can look back and go actually assess it and even like judge my own part in it for the first time. You know, all the defenses come down and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I was not me in that situation. Man, was I out of my freaking head, you know, and woo, you know, kind of thing. And you're not beating yourself up over it. You have enough distance to look at it in a way without judgment, enough that you can apply judgment. You can sort of like, okay, let me get an objective look at really what went down 5 years ago, or maybe not even with an event, but just who you were, you know, who I was in high school. I can look back at who I was in high school, and sure, there's some cringeworthy moments, but it's so long ago, not that long, you guys, so just shut up, okay? It's not that long, not even close. You're off by at least 4 months. But I can look back at high school and go, wow, holy crap. And I can sort of take solace in the thought that most people aren't thinking about that still. I hope. And you can kind of look at it. And then you can go, yeah, interesting how that happened. And then that thing happened. And then that led to that thing. And then so on and so forth. And I touched upon it earlier in this episode, which is that, you know, what I talked about in the Thought for Food lifestyle, you know, the Thought for Food podcast, which is, you know, when they asked me about it, it's kind of fun to be asked about it because I didn't see it coming. And they were like, you know, you're a musician and an actor and you know, like, what was that like? And I just don't talk about it that much. So it was kind of an interesting conversation because they wanted to know it in context of what I do now, not like you used to do that and now you do this completely different. They're like, oh, that makes sense that like, it kind of led you to that, to what you do now. And that was kind of an interesting perspective on that. But I can look back at those times and I can, what as a small stepper, what do? We learn. We can look at these moments in our past and we review our life up to this moment and say, where's the learning moments of the things that I did? I look back at my life and don't really have a lot of regrets, frankly. And here's the thing. You may feel regret for something, but then 3 years later, you don't anymore because you realize that without that thing happening, you couldn't get to the next thing and to the next thing and the next thing that maybe has steered you in a pretty cool way. And knowing that you're not 100% where you need to be either, and who gives a crap because you're a small stepper and you know that's not the name of the game either. But the small stepper over time, in the training of being a small stepper, in the training of understanding the nature of a most of the time ethic, of a not being a, I have to do this 100% of the time, but I'm happier when I understand that it's what I do most of the time. That allows ultimately, and this is the kind of the mind blower part of being a small stepper, is even something as recent as yesterday, you learn over time to look at that with less judgment, with less criticism, and even with humor a day ago, 10 minutes ago, and go, well, that wasn't me. But it's not my most of the time, but holy crap, what was I there? Oh my God, that was nuts. Moving on. How fast can we move on? Not fast, most of us. It's so hard. We beat ourselves up. We do something that's not us, and we beat ourselves up. And if you're in the mire of stress and everything else, you might even look back at something happened a year ago and re-beat yourself up over it, re-regret, all the bad things are because of that moment. When a small stepper goes, no one moment defines my life because I can move on and create new moments at the drop of a hat. I remember being young, and probably this doesn't make me an anomaly, but you know, looking for praise and, you know, wanting to be I was kind of like the good, you know, just kind of sometimes annoying, I'll be honest, like good kid, like, you know, the good one being get praise and everything. And I think like, if I had never gotten past that as a person, like this, my music would have been I would have just been writing whatever music I could figure out that would be as most popular as possible. And then just not be proud of it. And instead I traded that for writing music that I'm super proud of, but that clearly did not get the popularity that potentially I could have gotten otherwise. I don't know. Don't care. Had I tried to make it popular and still failed, that would have been a real bummer. At least I've got the music, and I didn't fail, but I have the music that I did that I'm proud of. I'm proud of this podcast, whether you like it or not. I'm proud of it. Whether I lose every listener that I've ever gotten, it would bum me out, but it's not going to derail. I'm not going to go like, and I didn't even do it well. I'd be like, well, I gave it my college try. I've twice now mentioned in this podcast, giving it the old college try. I think I'm going to go back to college. Looking back. So having never gotten past the sort of looking for the most praise, you know, I grew out of that. I grew out of that. Enough perspective to know that that really wasn't me, but I had to sort of get past that to get to the point where the work comes first, and that I realized two very important points in my life at my age now. And hopefully I'm continuing growth to know that I don't know what it will be, but I'm assuming that in the years to come, there'll be other realizations and other realities. And I might look back on this time and go, wow, that was, you know, I wasn't maybe is where I thought I was with that. And now my podcast evolved this way, or boy, luckily I did that because now I'm doing this other thing. I don't know. I love being open to the fact that I'm assuming there will be something that I learned from this time in my life. I don't ever want to not be learning, but I have enough perspective to know on my life looking back that there's more fulfillment for me to focus on the work that I do primarily way, way, way before. I mean, years before I ever think about how does it play in the marketplace? And that also, I take the praise that I get via from you guys, and I always get mushy when I tell you that I come back here every week because of you guys, because I hear from people, and you guys are incredible. And I hope that I'm delivering something for you. I'm assuming that you're writing me emails because that's happening, and I love that. But I take stock in that because I don't think that somebody's writing an email to me saying that they feel liberated and they have less weight on their shoulders because they're just trying to kiss my ass. I don't take it that way. I take it the way that I do because I think in large part because of my past, because it's about the work for me, that when you guys write something complimentary about the work, I take it seriously and it feels really good. Not in like a, now I'm going to stare at myself in the mirror. It's like, that's freaking cool. It's a win-win. You guys got it. I got it. We're good. We have a good little transaction going on there. However you show me that support. So I'm more fulfilled by focusing on the work, but I'm also actually fulfilled by what I look at as substantial feedback, like real feedback, not just, you know, thin, shallow stuff. No matter what life you've lived before now, the fact of the matter, it is inconsequential, but it's very hard to look back at our lives and not connect it to who we are today. It's almost impossible not to, except that it's actually not, it's gone. It's gone. That's a fact. You can't argue with me the fact that what you did yesterday is gone. It lives in your brain, but it's not a reality in your life any longer. The effects of it maybe, but those are now present to you now. But what you've done or what you did 5 years ago, it's gone. And that's hard for us to wrap our brains around because we oftentimes, after years of this kind of thing, think on some level, it's probably too late for me to change. I mean, it's just, I've talked about this, but it's just who I am. It's just what I do. It's what I do. We want to sort of divorce ourselves from the reality and the responsibility and accountability, maybe even, that it's never too late to affect change in your life. It's never too late. And while that may be a seemingly easy stance to take of nothing I can do about it, you know, that's why maybe we don't like the WWID bracelets that I thought were going to be a big seller, because I don't want to know what I would do, because I don't want to ask that question, because what I would do for a lot of people is what I've always done. And I just think it's a bunch of crap. I don't think that's relevant. I mean, I think it's happening for many people. It's just what I do because it takes the heat off, and I get it. We have enough heat for all the things that are piled upon us in the modern world, but there's a certain power with saying, I'm not even ready to make the change, but I know that I can. I may not be able to take anything on, not even a small step, but I can certainly think about it. I can certainly understand that I'm open to the fact that I can. I have the power to do that. It just, I need to find the right time to take something on. And maybe if you come back and listen to this podcast every week, you realize that you can take something on today because it can be so crazily small that it's doable, like one deep breath. Who can't do that? Who can't change their life with one deep breath? Everybody listening to this can change their life with one deep breath because it starts there. And no, it's not about the blood pressure, and it's not about the linking the left brain and the right brain and all the things that they've studied with Zen Buddhists. It's about a moment. And it's about looking back at your life and making your life up to this moment learn, a learning experience. Looking back and saying, I have enough perspective now as a small stepper. I'm not putting so much stock in what I did yesterday. I'm looking at it now better than I ever did before because I'm not looking at it to beat myself up. I'm looking at it to learn from it. I'm looking at it to take something out of it. That's an extremely powerful place. And I think that part of what gets us down is this kind of the world that we've created and the work that we do and the busyness of our families and everything else. And we don't have the time oftentimes to devote, like I said, all the time to our lives in a very substantial way to really ask these questions. And a lot of times what we've done is how we define ourselves. We define ourselves in many cases by what we've done, by our upbringing, by our parenting, by what we learned in school, what we were told in school. And what that does in a sense is it makes us sort of similar in ways that I think one of my pet peeves is what I call the sheep problem. I hate when I listen to the news because they're always like, this demographic votes this way, and this demographic or race votes that way, and this religion. Everybody likes to collectivize. Everybody likes to group and box and organize. We love to go like, this type of person does this. But the scary thing is sometimes that's kind of overwhelmingly true. Like, it blows my mind that there are groups of people who sort of go the same way. You can sort of, there's like markers of a certain type of person. And that doesn't gel with what I know to be true about individuals. It doesn't gel with what I know deep down is true about individuals, which is that if given the time to consider and think, we would differentiate. We would actually be able to separate and make decisions in our lives that maybe step out of the box of what the expectations are given our upbringing or things that are external to us, the school we went to, the parents we had, the education of our parents, the town we lived in, the economic level that we have, the race that we are, the religion. All we step outside of that when we have the time to think, but we're not given that time to think. We didn't create a world where that kind of thinking is possible for most people. And I hate groupings. It's such a pet peeve of mine because I hate the idea, or at least promoting the idea, that we are sheep, that we just go like, if you can just say this thing, then like, I hate the fact that people vote for a candidate if they come to their state. The more visits a candidate comes to your state, the more people will vote for that. I couldn't give a flying crap if a candidate comes to my state. I don't care. I want to know what the candidate stands for. And if it gels with my values, I vote. And so I really hate that kind of like, but I don't, people aren't stupid. It's just, that's the thing that I think is missing, which is that time to consider. And that sort of, I want to come here to spark thought in people. And I think that people maybe just it's overwhelming, the idea of like, I mean, look at, I'm in the United States, you guys, okay, and there's many people who aren't in the United States, so we're in an election cycle. I guarantee you, if you watch the news, you've heard about it, because it's absolutely nutty. Nutty Nut Nut doesn't even apply to our election cycle right now. It's, first of all, it'd be the bad Nutty Nut Nut, and also it's like Nutty Nut 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 Nut. Like, if there's four nuts to the election cycle in the United States right now. But I got the sample ballot, and it's like 1,000 things, and this isn't even the actual measures and the laws and the legalese. Like, who has time? Who has time to be a thoughtful citizen to vote their values when it would literally take you hours to pour through? And even if you did, you'd have to be a freaking trained lawyer to get through the legalese. It's a massive undertaking to be engaged in society, much less engaged in our lives. But I think that if you can learn to look at your life in moments, if you can learn to break down your change and the things that you change in your life in moments, then you can learn to look back at your life and say, I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to learn. That's hilarious. Oh my God, did I really do that? Did I really? Yes, I did. Wow, that's shocking. Moving on. 10 minutes ago, moving on. Walked in the door, moving on. But I can learn to do that better, to not only let go of what I can't change, but to learn from it, to let it go. But before I let it totally go, like, is there something I can grab from this? If in the very least, can I just say that it wasn't me and move on? I think a small stepper gets better about that over time. I think it's an integral part of taking on a small stepper's practice and becoming a small stepper's is this ability to simultaneously get perspective, take a moment to review our lives, even the most recent parts of our lives, let them go, and just before it goes away, we grab something from it and go, before you go, I'm just going to take this little nugget of knowledge to apply to my brain and my life so that when this similar scenario comes up again, I'm a little more me next time. The life in review idea is to say, let's get better about not beating ourselves up about the things that we've done, but actually look back and use the memories that we have in our brain, because that's the only place that they exist, to learn from them and to say, whatever I was in college, whatever I was in high school, whatever I was a year ago in my workplace, whatever mistakes I made or even successes I made, maybe they were me, maybe they weren't me, maybe they feed me a knowledge of redefining what success is for me. Maybe we hit success, but we realized it was empty and it didn't make us feel good. And only then do we realize, because that's not really success for me. That's not really success for me. And maybe success up until that point was what I was told or what People Magazine told me was success. But in being able to look at my life and in review to say, that's actually not success for me right now. And now I'm calling the shots. And I think that's the power of us. Ultimately, that's the power of us. So I'm going to finish up today by one little story of what happened to me this morning. The kids were on vacation last week. So today we got up and we were running a little late, and I got back late last night from the running retreat. So I was really tired. It wasn't like that late, but I was tired. Long weekend, and you know, just what it is. And it was a great weekend, but got to bed and we got up this morning. We were kind of just not back into the swing of things because we've been on vacation. The kids have been on vacation for a week, not Lisa and I for sure. But we were running a little bit late and got piled in the car, and Lisa was saying goodbye to us. I take the kids to school, then I head down to work, and Lisa works out of the house. She's a graphic designer. And so I'm watching Lisa in the back, in the rearview mirror, kind of walking away toward the horse area because she was going to check on the horse stable. And I'm watching her, and as she leaves kind of the safety area, I back the car up, and I proceed to back up into my other car, which was parked right behind me, and I just didn't, it was sort of to the left, and I wasn't looking there, and so I backed up. And nothing major. I wasn't going that fast, but it cracked my back light and I got really mad. I was like, ah, and I got outside. And I was like, oh my God, God, why is the car here? This whole thing. So I'm driving. So then, but we're running a little bit late. So I get piled back in the car and we're driving, and I had the stewing. I mean, I had the stress. I had the craziness in my brain of, you know, the anger. Why is the car there? And I can't believe I did that. Why was I not looking? How did I miss that? And the success of this was by the time I got not a mile away, I mean less than a mile away, I was able to review in a much more substantial and significant way to say, all in all, this isn't the worst thing in the world. All in all, I'm going on my business. It was a 5-second thing. Yes, I got to get it fixed. It's going to cost me a little bit of money. Not big deal. And I don't have to get it fixed tomorrow. It's still working. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And yes, I missed it and I wish I hadn't, but what the hell am I going to do about it now? And in that moment, less than a mile away, my complete mood changed. I had my kids in my car. We were playing some music. My 12-year-old daughter sitting next to me. I reached over, I grabbed her hand. She held my hand and we're driving down the street and I go, how amazing is this that my life just took a 180 and it could have been a day of me getting just more pissed at something that was done and over and needs to be fixed and I'm gonna fix it and I have the resources to fix it. It's not the frickin' end of the world. And I don't like the sort of grass is always greener, people have it worse than you do. I think stress for us is stress for us, however we interpret it. But it is about how we interpret it. And it is in our power to make those changes. So while next time I may not have that win, I'm freaking taking the win this time. I'm taking the win from this morning and I'm patting myself on the back, knowing that another day could be a different circumstances and I do get mad at myself for a day and I ruin my day. I don't know. I do know that I can look back, number one, and learn from what happened, and then also learn again from how I handled it, and know that in that moment, that was me more than anything else. That was me more than anything else. And that I had dropped the kids off at school, and I literally did not think about my car for the rest of the day, not once. I drank my water, had a good day at work with my coworkers and with Jeff, and had a nice day, and I got home tonight, and I'm doing a podcast that I love, and talking to you guys that I love, and checked some emails and got some emails from you guys that I love, and packing a couple more Nutty Nut Nut shirts to send one to freaking Netherlands. And I'm going, what amazing place that we live in today. Okay. So I turned it freaking around today anyway. So I'm taking the win on that. All right. I'm taking the win. All right, you guys, I'm going to leave you there for now. You are awesome. As I tell you, and you can email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Again, if you want me to do a Q&A video, if that works for you guys, great. If I don't get any questions, then I'll answer nobody's questions, okay? I'll still do it. I just won't answer anybody's. I'll just answer yes, no, no, yes. I'll be here next week because that's what I do. Episode 163 is coming, and I may have old Joan Stanford as a guest next week. So I'm looking forward to that, getting back in deep on her book and all this kind of cool stuff that's going on with her. So stay tuned for that either next week or the week after. And you guys are awesome. Take care of yourselves. Okay. I don't know how you did last week with the world without food idea, but maybe you played around with that and realized some things that you kind of want to do besides eat and think about food. And you can still eat and think about food, but maybe you're doing that a little less and bringing up some other cool stuff that you want to explore in your lives. And small steppers are adventurers. That's not above all else, but that's one big thing about who we are. We are open to adventure because we know we can just dabble in cool stuff and maybe some of those things will grow into big changes, but we get in it first and we dig it and it's fun and we have joy and fulfillment as a result. All right? All right, you guys. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, be well.
This storm, the only way out is to run. The only way out is to buckle down. This storm, the only way out is to come on down. The only way out is to watch it pass through. If I ask too much of everything, your mystique is tight and paper thin. something. This way, the way you shut down, it makes me scream. Your silence is unsettling. This storm, the only way out is the way in. I see the only way out is to give you. If I ask too much of everything, your mystique is tight and